Okay, the question is, can you minister deliverance to yourself? Is it possible to minister deliverance to yourself? Must you go to another ministry? He had read a book where one minister said, you cannot minister deliverance to yourself. Somebody else must do it. But the man asking the question said, he was convinced because of the woman with the issue of blood who said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And she touched and she was made whole. And he became convinced emphasis must be shifted to Jesus, not to other people. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He says, can you minister deliverance to yourself? Must you go to others? Now, there are different types of deliverance. There is self-deliverance. You can minister to yourself. There are situations where you must go to another minister. Whatever you do, do in humility. If you don't want to go to another minister because of pride, you will be in there for a long time. You are going to suffer. Because Jesus commanded his disciples, heal the sick, cast out devils. Jesus gave the instruction. It means they will be ministering to people. Do you follow my point? Okay. Much less did he say about self-deliverance, but people ministering to people. But what brings about the difference? Listen, the first time that I did deliverance, it was self-deliverance. I observed that I used to have an attack in the night. Once in a while, that's a long time ago, I would sleep. Then in the night, a grip in my brain, like an epileptic seizure. I would feel that pain. I would be frozen on my bed. I want to talk, I cannot talk. I want to lift a hand, I cannot lift it. It had happened for some time. Then one day, I told myself, listen, this thing cannot keep me in bondage. I laid on my bed, I wanted to sleep. And I talked to that thing. I said, you, in the name of Jesus, tonight, before I wake up, you go. And I fell asleep. That night, it happened. You follow my point? And when it happened that night, I knew that it was because I talked to it. You follow my point? It was not coincidence. It was because I talked to it. So all I said was, thank you, Jesus. That was because I talked. It is God. I could think, but I couldn't physically act. You follow my point? And then after some time, but ordinarily, when it happened, after some time, it will also go. You follow my point? But that night, I was sure it was God. It was because I commanded it to go. That must be 20-something years ago. It has not happened once after that.
Hallelujah.
Give Jesus a clap of praise. Hallelujah. You can do self-deliverance. However, there are deliverance cases where you cannot minister to yourself. It depends on what it is. You may begin to minister to yourself. When you are knocked down, you can no longer minister to yourself. Are you with me now? Yes. So whatever we do in all humility. Somebody can minister to you. Let me give you an example. If you had been in witchcraft and you had just believed, you follow me now, and you say, I'm going to minister to myself. Can you do it?
No.
Forget it. Somebody must minister to you. I mean, that one is easy for everybody to see. You follow my point? So, self-deliverance, yes. Somebody else ministering to you, yes. Both are legitimate. But let nothing be done out of arrogance. Do you follow me? Let's humble ourselves. The ministers here, when we have all night, we minister to each other. I stand the minister to me. Somebody stands the minister. Do you follow my point? Okay. There comes in there. Take yourselves, twos and threes, minister to each other, change, minister to each other. That's all we do. There's nothing wrong about having a checkup. I tell people, you go to your doctor for a physical checkup. Why can't you do a spiritual checkup? Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Are you okay? Glory to God.
Some churches are saying there's no need for you to go to deliverance at any place. Because the word of God is what you have to depend on for your spirit. What about that?
Well, but it is the word of God that says to the disciples, cast out devils.
Yes.
Isn't that the word of God?
Yes.
Okay. You see, there are ministers who cannot be humble enough to say, I don't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Go to somebody else.
Yes.
See, that is where you have such problems.
Yes.
Do you follow me? That is just a matter of pride.
Yeah.
In my ministry, I don't do it. There are ministers who readily will send their members to somebody else. Go to Pastor so-so-so. He does deliverance. There are those that will want to defeat God's processes because they have not been humble enough to go and learn it. So it is within the word of God that we should minister deliverance to people. Jesus never said anywhere, deliver yourself. Mm-mm. So again, it's a matter of humility. That was a lady. She had a problem. Very nice lady. Fine Christian. She had a problem. She came. And I ministered to her. And I told her, you need to come at some intervals until something that I know to be there is taken care of. I did not know why it had to be. You see, eventually when you read my book, I'll say, your deliverance does not hang completely on the minister. You too. You follow my point. Especially you. When certain things hang on and on and on, you could be a very nice person. But maybe there is something that you are holding on to in there. So I said, you need to come at intervals. Just come in briefly, I'll check you, minister to you, and you go. 10 minutes. You follow my point. For some time, I didn't see her. Then she came one day, we talked. I said, I told you that you must come in briefly. She said, my pastor said that I don't need to. Mm-hmm. I said, why? She said, my pastor said that all I need is to be coming to church and be listening to the word of God. But Jesus never said, just keep coming and keep listening. There are different things. Jesus will be teaching, indeed, in the synagogue. In the synagogue. Jesus was teaching. A demon started to act up. Jesus stopped teaching and cast out the demon. Do you follow my point?
Yes.
Okay. See, there are different things. Different operations. I pray that God will give you a holistic ministry.
Amen.
Jesus stopped teaching, did the deliverance. Then he picked up again. Are you with me? I said, well, listen, I can't tell you to disobey your pastor, but I don't think that he is right. Unfortunately, the lady is dead now. And I think that maybe she would not have died. You follow my point? Maybe she would not have died. I met her after that. I still said, madam, I think that you should come. But she still felt, yeah. I don't want to tie anybody down in my church. I have some members here. You follow my point? Some of my members. I don't want to tie you to the chair. Jesus said of his sheep, they will go out and come in and they will find pasture. Some pastors think they have to tie you down there. And I think it is wrong. Yes, ma'am. You wanted to say something.
Thank you, sir. Explanation number.
Okay, the question was, what do you do to make heaven? I just said, I was a lady who did all things in the church. Everybody knew her, very active, and all that, and she died. And I was a man who knew her on earth. And the man died for some time and was shown a vision of heaven, or rather hell, and saw the lady there. And when he inquired, why should you be here? The lady said, I was somebody in the choir who offended her, and she never forgave that person. And for that, she went to hell. Listen to Jesus. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And he explained later, for if you do not forgive those who sin against you, neither will your Father, who is in heaven, forgive you your sins. The meaning of that is that you will go to hell. The unforgiven person goes to hell. Remember the servant, the wicked servant, who owed so much to the master and couldn't pay. And the master decided to forgive him. And after he left, he met his fellow servant, who owed very little to him, and held him by the throat and said, you have to pay. And when the master heard, he called him up and said, everything that you have been forgiven, you will now pay. Do you follow my point? You are locked up until you pay. Where will he pay from? So he was gone. So let us understand these parables and let us conform. And these are a lot of things that we have been talking about, isn't it?
Yes.
Talking about entering the kingdom of heaven. This is what it is about. If anybody has forgiven you, go and forgive them. Painful, but forgive them. Now, having said that, now, think about those who, when people forgive them, again, I used to say it, I said again, they stand in what they call prayer, and they are calling fire to come upon them. Do you follow me now?
Yes.
They are calling fire and shooting arrows, like I have said before, and I say again, that is witchcraft. It is witchcraft. So be careful.
Close my heart.
Okay.
They should sit in the church and hear the word of God. And the word of God will deliver them. So it happened that I have a prayer partner in that church. We are very close. And we meet together and we pray.
And anytime that prayer time will not respect us. So I prayed about it, and she asked me and told me that this is going to go through. Come, follow me to miracle center. She said no. That when you want to get God, she will leave because she's holding a truth there. They will shock her. That now she minister to them. I said no. I don't want to minister to the truth.
Yeah.
Okay, if you don't want to come up for your passion to do, I assure her that the pastor will not know. But if she don't like it, I will tell my sister I'm looking for one of the people then. Either she comes, or because the case is closed, or we go there. She said no. What do I do? I stop praying with her because the manifestation is too much. And she can't. What do I do?
Well, it's simple. You have done what you should do. And you cannot deliver anybody by force. You cannot. Okay. So you can continue to intercede for her, for God to open her eyes and let her see. That is all you can do now. It's about somebody who needs deliverance but says her pastor will frown at it. So if you would rather satisfy your pastor, there's nothing that we can do about that. Hallelujah. Yeah.
I want to say that. Yeah.
You see, Jesus was teaching. When this man in the synagogue manifested,
yes,
that was the end of his teaching.
He didn't even wait. We're not even told about it. It looked like he stopped.
He just stopped and took deliverance of the man.
Yeah.
And that was the end of the teaching. So, I mean, if Jesus himself stopped, I mean, who was teacher of teachers?
Yes.
He stopped his teaching.
Yes.
The Bible said, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority,
yes,
and not as the scribes.
Yes.
And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Jesus dealt with that.
Yes.
All right. So, I mean, you can go on teaching and teaching. Fine. I mean, I have nothing against it.
No.
But if something manifests,
you have to deal with it. It's good to teach. We teach here. We teach a lot, don't we?
Yes.
But then we give other things to their own areas. Okay. A ministry should be complete, should be holistic. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody had a hand?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Hallelujah.
See,
her question was, there are ministers who teach very well. They can explain things to you very well. But when you look at their lives, they don't practice what they teach others to do. She says, what's the problem? Don't they understand what they're teaching? And I said, well, when they explained those things to you, did you understand? She said, yes. I said, well, if they didn't understand it, they wouldn't be able to explain to you so that you will understand. You cannot give what you don't have. But this is what Jesus said. Jesus did not say, these things that you teach, blessed are you because you teach them. Nor did he say, these things that you hear, blessed are you because you hear them. But rather he said, these things that you hear, blessed are you if you do them. Do you see the point? If the man is teaching you and he can make it clear, then he must have heard it, either from someone or from the Holy Spirit. He heard it too. The blessed is everyone who does it. That is where it hangs. You don't know them by their teachings. You know them by their fruit.
Yes.
And we have dealt with that in this series. That fruit on the long run is your outward manifestation of the things of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Otherwise, if it is of the flesh, that is bad fruit. and a good tree does not bring forth bad fruit. Isn't that true? That's what the Word of God says. So everybody takes responsibility for what they do. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah.
There's a thing in the verse. I think it's smart. It says, if you are bringing your arm and you remember that somebody has a fault against you,
yeah,
you put your arms and go and fetch
it. Yeah.
Many times when I come to that place, I usually, you know, I don't really know what Socrates is. How can you identify those who have
No, but if you don't know, there's nothing that you can do. He implies that you know that somebody has something against you. Do you follow me? If you don't know, there's nothing that you can do. If you feel uncomfortable, Lord, if I have offended anybody, I forgive them. Even when you don't know who it is. If anybody has offended me, I forgive them. Okay. But remember, he said, if somebody has something against you, he says, go and settle it. Do you follow my point? That you may not even think that you are the one that's guilty. Maybe the person, as far as you are concerned, the person is guilty, has something against you. It doesn't matter whether you are really offended or you didn't. Go and sort it out anyway. When you have made a righteous effort to sort it out, if the person will not yield, the Word of God says, get one or two brothers. Make an effort for peace. If he will not yield, tell the leadership of the church. If he will not yield, take him for an unbeliever. Your prayer is not hindered anymore. Are you with me? Okay. Your prayer is not hindered anymore. But make an effort for peace. I said, make a sacrifice for peace. The one who is making the sacrifice for peace does not have to be the one who is guilty. Frankly speaking, the sacrifice for peace is better made by the one who believes that he is innocent. That is why he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Because while we were sinners, God the righteous offered a sacrifice for us to come back to him. Do you follow me now? So, when you believe that you are the one that is right, and you make the move and the sacrifice for peace, you are behaving like God. So he says you are a child of God. That's the point. Yes. Mrs. Awani?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
First law is in Revelation. Please.
Okay, why don't you open and read? Okay, open. Everybody listen. Revelation chapter 2.
I start from
verse 1. Yeah.
Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, this thing said he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Verse 2. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not hear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found the damned liar, and hast brought and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not strengthened. Verse 4. Nevertheless, I have suffered against thee, because thou hast fled thy false doctrine.
Continue. He gives a remedy.
Remember therefore from when thou hast come, and repent, and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of thy set, thou repent.
Okay, it's okay. Yes. Well, the thing I wanted you to get to was repent, see where you have fallen, repent, and do your first works. First, he said, your first love. Then the remedy is do the first works. Do you follow my point? Some ministers differ in how they look at the first love. But I think Jesus just solved the problem by saying that that first love is work. Are you with me now? He says, you left your first love. He says, repent and do the first work. What is the first work? If you are converted, what is the work? He said, Chair, what is the work that Jesus gave you to do? Work. What? Wait, somebody raise up your hand and tell me. Spread the gospel. You are sitting as a church. You are not reaching out to the lost souls. That is the work. If we don't have to do that work anymore, we don't have to be here. Are you with me? There is no other job that he really gave you to do. All other things are to work towards soul winning. raise the dead, heal the sick. The end result should be that you win those souls and others who know about what God has done. Do you follow me? But unless the soul is won, like I said to people, you can get healed 10 times, get delivered 50 times, and end up in hell if you don't yield your life to Jesus. Do you follow me? Say, do the first works, which is evangelism. Don't you know there are many churches that don't have a program of evangelism at all? At all. Do you follow me? Many, like most churches don't have it. Don't you know there are churches where they say, I don't know, I'm thinking of one title for a group in the church. Something, something, evangelical, whatever. And what they do, they hold one meeting every week. They come together, they talk, they pray, and they go. Do you follow my point now? It is supposed to be a group that is for evangelism. They don't go out to evangelize. They just meet every week. They contribute some money. Do you follow my point? And the money they contribute doesn't go out to some mission field. And that is plenty in the church today. He said, if you don't do it, I will come and remove your candlestick. What is the candlestick? How did he explain the candlestick? In chapter, what is the candle? What does it represent? Read from 20, if he has found it at 20.
The mystery of the seven.
Okay, that's what I want. Now,
my right hand.
Okay.
The seven golden candlesticks.
Okay.
The seven stars are the angels of the seven.
The seven stars are the pastors of the churches. Okay.
And the seven candles which thou sawest are the seven churches.
The candlestick is the church. He said, if you don't repent as a church, I will remove your candlestick. It means if you are not doing that, you are no church. Are you with me now?
Mm-hmm.
Period. If you're not doing it, you are no church. I write you off. Unproductive. The production. In a factory, you produce something. In the church, you produce souls. Hallelujah. You win souls. So if you are not doing it anymore, you might as well say that you are no church. I've just removed your candlestick. May God not remove our candlestick.
Amen.
Okay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I guess there are no more questions. My Lord.
No questions.
Okay.
I just want to, because of what you have to say. If we look at just one passage, I want to remind us. I speak because by the special grace of God, I'm also a humble pastor.
Yeah.
But my own pastor is not that
very humble.
Not that I'm better than the member of the population, I tell them.
Thank you, you better be better.
I say, I'm not sure I am because I'm better than them.
Okay.
For grace of God.
Okay.
And I don't deceive myself.
Okay.
But not like we are saying, the Bible is very clear. If you look at 1 John, I want to just remind us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Just read that one. That you should test the spirit. It's not the pastor to be your standard. Whatever anybody is saying, you are going to the Bible.
Yes. Yes.
Somebody, you don't have to be a under property and become a slave. You can't run from Satan and be slave again. You are black church.
Yes.
There. Please, I don't want to mention that for us. Just read it and meditate on it. What job for? Bad one.
Not every spirit.
Do you hear that?
Bible is whether they are of God. But many false prophets are born out into the world.
Lord, we have what is good.
Amen.
Don't God believe anything. If you come to me and I say kneel down, and you look at me, and your spirit is saying don't kneel down.
You better not.
Don't kneel down.
Yes.
You want to put my hand on your head, and your spirit is saying, this one I will hand out. Say, sir, please pray for me, don't put your hand on my head. If I have a hand, leave that without headache. It's not your headache. It's very important. You know, we help us.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, thank God for that, sir. You don't have to believe your pastor. There are two categories of people in the church. There are those who can read the Bible. So you take responsibility for what you do because you can read the Word of God and you can ask questions. And I tell people, if you have been through elementary school and you passed, you have been through high school, you passed, you have been through university, you passed, then you don't have an excuse not knowing what is written in the Bible. Your pastor is responsible for his own heresies. You are responsible if you believe him. You take responsibility. Because let me tell you the truth. We know the difference between what is right and what is wrong. Don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. For the Word of God says, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. because the Spirit speaks to you. But there are people who don't know how to read. They have to listen to the pastor. Do you follow my point? And listen to other Christians. I tell the pastor, you take responsibility for them. Because to whom much is given, much is also required. So the person who cannot read has little opportunity to know so much. They just have to listen carefully to what is said around them. Be careful that you do not lead anybody astray. Are you with me now? May God bless us.
Amen.
Don't believe every message. Check them out. Some people take pride in being the pastor's concubine. And I tell people, as far as God is concerned, it makes no difference whether the pastor is your concubine or whether a babalawo is your concubine. The sin is adultery.
Yes.
Period. There is no, you are a classical adulteress. Okay. So, does that make it good?
No.
You think if it's a pastor, it's okay. It's not okay. God help us.
Amen.
Shall we bow our heads and begin to pray? Let us pray. Let us give thanks to God. Let's bless the name of the Lord. The Lord is good. The Lord is so good. And let us pray again for the body of Christ, that Jesus has done so much for us, and may we also yield to His Spirit. Let me tell you, for all of us, we still carry this flesh, and we have to defeat those desires of the flesh. Somebody said that the thing she heard about one pastor, she said, wait, this is impossible. I hear things too. People tell me a lot of things. Listen, what I do is to pray for them regularly, and not just for one or two. I pray for all ministers, because they minister to so many. One minister ministers to thousands of people, and may we not minister heresies. May we not minister junk. The Apostle Paul said, you imitate me as I imitate Jesus. In other words, he knows that he is not leading people to hell, but to heaven. Pray to God that we as ministers will not be leading people to hell, but leading them to heaven. And above all things, pray for the humility that comes by the Spirit of God, so that we can readily allow the Holy Spirit to mold us, so that we conform perfectly with the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. The call has been made today for those who want to rededicate their lives. Is there anybody who wants to give his life to Jesus afresh? Today, you know, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to give my life. Just raise up your hand, hold it up if you are raising it up. I want to give my life to Jesus. Anybody? Thank you, Jesus. Our Father, we thank you for all that you have enabled us to do today. Thank you for a day of worship, a day of testimonies, a day of sharing. In everything that we have done, Jesus be glorified.
Amen.
Be thou glorified.
Amen.
Thank you for your blessing upon us.
Amen.
May our lives just glorify you.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you for speedy deliverances today.
Amen.
We give you praise, our God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.